In the beginning of the year, I began with a message called Living in His Presence, Living in His Presence, Living in His Power, Living in His Purpose, or His Plan, actually. Without knowing it, I was preparing over the last couple of weeks, God, where am I heading? Where are we doing? We've been talking about more. And all of a sudden, it dropped in my heart, pursuing his presence, pursuing His power, pursuing His purpose. And I'm like, God, that's really cool. Well, I shared it with my kids, and my kids go, Dad, you've already preached that. I said, no. And I went back, sure enough, it was our first three messages of the year. But let me tell you what happened in my heart. I really feel like we need to hit the reset button, kind of on a computer. Let's clear the memory. Let's come back and let's preach it again. Now, I'm going to preach it different this time because it's not the same message. And I actually this morning I went and I kind of looked. I'm like, what did I preach? And because I knew the heart of what I was preaching was to stir. I felt a stirring that we need to stir those things. I didn't even realize it was basically the same wording. And so maybe I apologize for that, but don't apologize for the message. And so we're going to hit the reset button and say, God, help us. Now, it's going to be a little bit different because this morning, the title of this whole series is going to be Pursuing His Presence, His Power, and His Purpose. But in the midst of this, what's going to happen is I'm going to do sub-messages underneath this. In fact, you're going to see the banners around, and they're going to be there for a while because I want to attempt to really put this in our hearts. I want to inspire us every week when you walk in. Why am I living? Because I'm pursuing His presence, His power, and His purpose. In fact, I want you to say this with me this morning. Go to the next slide. We'll just say it this way. Ready? Everybody say it with me. Ready? Pursuing His. Pursuing. Pursuing. Come on, one more time. Pursuing. Yes, pursuing. Let me look at a definition for pursue for a moment. It means to chase, to follow close, to strive, to gain, to seek, to attain or accomplish. Can you imagine accomplishing God's presence every day? Accomplishing or striving for His power and striving for His purpose? It means to proceed in accordance with His presence, right? Or to carry on or continue. When you add an ing to a verb, as such as we're doing, pursue becomes pursuing, and it makes the verb, and here's for all you English teachers, it makes the verb a present participle. And all the English teachers said, amen, that's what happens, so be it. But the verb now indicates not just an action, but an ongoing action, pursuing. And we not just need to pursue God for a little while, but presently, yes, but continually we should go after Him. And I want all of us to be pursuing His presence, pursuing His power, pursuing His purpose. Today we'll begin this adventure with pursuing His presence. And then for 4 weeks, I have a sub-series for pursuing His presence, and it's called Soul Detox, Clean Living in a Contaminated World. For 4 weeks and 4 messages, I want to talk to all of us about detoxing our souls, identifying, removing the toxins of this world from our lives. In fact, we'll start that next week. And then I'll come back to pursuing His power, and we're going to do a sub-message there as well as pursuing His purpose. But this morning, let's talk about pursuing His presence. Let me begin with this scripture. In Psalm 140, verse 13, says, surely the righteous will praise Your name. And we've done that this morning. We praise Him. And the upright will live in Your presence. Heavenly Father, thanks for Your word. May we be attentive and put it into action for Your glory. Amen. Let me begin with this statement. Our motivation for wanting to be in God's presence should not be because of our own agenda, our own personal wants and needs. Many times that's why we go to God. God, I've got problems. God, I've got these issues. And Lord, there's so many situations. But we should want to be in God's presence because He is God. We ought to want to be in God's presence because he is God. Listen to what Jesus taught us when he taught us how to pray. Matthew chapter 6. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the kind of prayer that puts God first. We show him first the reverence that's due his name when we come to him. And then we ask for his will to be done. And then later in it, well, Lord, give us our daily bread, and Lord, forgive me. And that comes along, but first Jesus teaches that before we ask anything for ourselves is to pursue his presence. In the same chapter, Jesus reiterates it in verse 33 when he says, but seek second, third, sometime, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. One of the beauty parts of this is that his righteousness is not our righteousness. When you begin to seek his righteousness, you find a grace and a mercy that is poured over your life because of what he's done that is right. He has saved you. And then all these things will be given to you as well. God's kingdom is his presence breaking through in our lives. Pursuing God's presence will bring what our hearts desire. But it brings freedom, it brings growth, it brings maturity, it brings miracles, it brings love, it brings peace, joy, and contentment. But we have to start in the right place, and that's pursuing God's presence. And our attitude should be one that says, God, it's all about you. Say that with me this morning. God, it's all about you. You say it. What if you rolled out of bed tomorrow morning and said, God, it's all about you. About lunchtime, you're having a bite. God, it's all about you today. What would change in our lives if we began to pursue his presence? God, it's all about you. Hosea 6, he writes in the midst of all of his calamity, he says, oh, that we might know the Lord. And then says, let us what? Press on to know him. He will respond to us as surely as the arrival of the dawn or the coming of the rains in early spring. This morning, this is a call to spend time in God's presence, setting time apart where God can just fill our lives. Whether we're meeting as a group or you're just in your own home seeking him, it's putting him first. It's praising him and thanking him for who he is and then asking him for his will to be done in our lives, pursuing his presence. Psalm 27, verse 4, King David pens a request of the Lord. One thing I ask from the Lord. One thing. One thing I ask from the Lord. This only. I'm reading it slow so you can get it. This only do I ask. One thing, this only, one thing that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. David wanted to pursue God's presence. And then down in verse 8 of that same psalm, he writes, my heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. This passage should be our prayer. It's us saying, Lord, I am coming. I'm pursuing your presence. I will pursue you every day so that it affects my heart, it affects my mind, it affects my attitude. Letting God's presence begin to change every part of our lives. So maybe you're asking, how do I enter his presence? How do I get there? 1 Corinthians 1:9 is a great, great verse. Listen to this. God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says. And he has invited you. He has invited you to into partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We've been called into fellowship with God. This invitation comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened up a new and a living way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, what does verse 22 tell us? Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. Why? For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. We're able to go into God's presence because God has invited us. He made a way for us to know him by sending his Son to die for us. And now he's opened the way for us to come into his presence. And because of this, we can enter it with confidence. We don't have to go to God with an attitude that makes us feel worthless. Church, we are not worthless. You are worth it. We have been invited by God to spend time with him through Jesus. We can spend time with God. We can get to know God, learning how much he loves us and learning how to love him, and then understanding his will for our lives. We can pursue God's presence because we've been accepted because of the blood of Jesus Christ, his payment for us. Now, there's several ways we can pursue his presence. We can do it in prayer. You say, how do we do that? I come to church, you pray, and maybe we all pray. Listen, you need to learn to have an attitude of prayer. Did you know while I'm preaching, I'm saying, God, help me. Lord, help me with this, because I don't want it to be me. I want it to be your glory. I am all the time, whether you know it or not, because I know, look at all those eyes. They're scary. God, help me, because it's your word. I have to continually say, God, it's not me, it's you. God, it's all about you. God, it's about you today. And listen, you can learn to do that at your workplace. You say, well, everybody will think I'm goofy. You don't have to pray out loud. You just see the person over there. God, would you just bless them today as I do this? God, I pray. Lord, I just want your presence to fill this place. God, I want you to do it. Whatever you're doing, why don't we just learn to have that attitude? Why? Because that's God's presence. We're just beginning to hang out with him more and more. It could be happening Bible reading. Just begin to read his word. People go, well, I don't know. How much should I read? Let me encourage you. If you're not reading, why don't you start? And I'm going to go ahead and set a little bit of a standard here. Why don't you start with 5 minutes a day? You say, well, that's not a lot. It's more if you're not doing it. 5 minutes. What if you had 35 minutes of God's word in your life? And people go, well, you know, read the same thing over and over if you have to. People go, I don't get it. Read it again. God's not going to go, you read that yesterday. No, God's going to be saying, let me put that deeper into your heart. God, he's going to be saying, I tell you what, you keep reading that, the Holy Spirit is all of a sudden going to begin revealing and opening your heart and your eyes, and I'm going to work that into your life. We just need to read. Also, you can worship. You can be quiet before him. That's nothing wrong with being quiet before the Lord. In fact, if you're more quiet, you might actually hear him. Church, we just need to start working and say, how do we get? You've been invited. You have been invited. One of the ways that I meet with God is when I sit down at the piano and begin to play and just lift my voice to him in worship. It's just one of my ways of doing it. So I'm going to take a moment, and I'm just going to have a little fun in his presence. Is that right?
have is all thee. I exalt thee. I exalt thee. Oh, Lord. I exalt thee. Give you glory, Lord.
In Christ alone, I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. In Christ alone, I place my trust and find my glory in the power. My source of hope is Christ alone. My source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. Amen. I don't know. You say, well, I don't have that gift. It was never about the gift. It was about him. See, it's getting your eyes focused on him. It's getting your attention toward him. In fact, I want you to hear what Isaiah writes in 26, verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. People say, well, I want some peace in my life. Voila! The scripture for your life. Get your focus. Get into his presence. Keep your thoughts fixed on him. Church, he has every answer you need. But church, as we enter his presence, you should expect a change in your life. See, God's awesome. He loves you, and he wants to fulfill his potential in you. We should pursue God's presence, wanting to go deeper with him. I don't want a shallow experience. How many are just done with the shallow? I want to go deep with God. I want to desire Him, more of Him, living and active in me. And all the time knowing there has to be less of me. I need to live in a place where Isaiah lived when he encountered God's presence. In Isaiah 6, verse 5, he says, "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." You see, the thing about being in God's presence is that when we enter the holiest place there is. And when we're in His presence, our lives do not compare. His light comes in and it shines through us, and His majesty and His radiance begins to highlight who and what we really are. Sometimes we don't like that because it reveals how sinful we are. That's what happened to Isaiah. "I'm ruined." Oh, he wasn't ruined. He was going to be changed. By pursuing His presence, we're brought into such holiness that sin has no place. Church, that's really where I'm calling us. If we'll begin to get in His presence where He's a holy, holy God, and He said, "Be holy, for I am holy," sin won't have a place. Listen to Hebrews 10, 22 again. "Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean." Yes, God's presence makes us realize our sinfulness, but also we enter because of the blood of Jesus Christ and we are cleansed. And then being in His presence will give us desire to want to change. And sometimes it's a painful process, but it will make us more holy. It will renew us. And we can trust that as we focus on God and in His word, that He will continue to clean us. Hebrews 4:12 says, "God's word is alive." Say that with me.
God's word is alive.
Now, how do you think the Holy Spirit meant that when He penned it through the writer of Hebrews? God's word is alive. It's alive. Just want you to know that. I believe it was written with some enthusiasm, because God's word is alive. Say it again.
God's word is alive.
Changes it, doesn't it? It's alive and working. Woohoo! It's not just written words. It's not just something I glean thoughts from and have deep thoughts. It's at work. His word is alive and working and is sharper than a double-edged sword. And here's what it does. It cuts all the way into us where the soul and the spirit are joined, to the center of our joints and bones. And it judges the thoughts and the feelings in our hearts. But through His word, He'll restore us. He'll purify us. And He will fulfill His promises in us. God has invited you and I to have a relationship with Him. He wants to spend that time with us because He loves us. There's a beautiful thing about God's presence. The results of His presence will change us and our lifestyle. When we meet with God, we will come out different. Encountering His presence doesn't only change us, but being in His presence allows His power to flow through us. I want you to listen to what happened on the day of Pentecost when 120 people were seeking God. They were pursuing His presence. They were told to. After He ascended, "I want you to go to Jerusalem. I want you to wait." 10 days they were pursuing His presence. Acts 2, verse 1, here's what happened. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, There was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. As they spent time, church, pursuing God's presence, God's power fell on them. That day, Peter steps out, preaches under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and I want you to hear what happened in verse 37. Peter's words, it said, pierced their hearts. And they said to him and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Verse 38, Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. Turn to God. Turn to God. Get into his presence. Turn to God. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children and to even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Down in verse 41, those who believe what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. Verse 43, a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. You see, God's presence brings the gifts of the Holy Spirit. His power can be seen in signs and wonders, but it's as his church lives and operates in his presence. Let me jump ahead for a moment. What if all of a sudden we just want to do his purpose? There's a lot of people trying to do God's purpose. But I'm going to tell you, without his power, you will be ineffective. And you won't have his power without his presence. It's the order. You get saved, you turn to God. That's where you go first. Then his power comes. And listen, the Holy Spirit is for every one of you. So I'm a Gentile. Oh, there it is. Even to the Gentiles. God's word is so cool. Pursuing his presence. Psalm 140, verse 13, it says, surely the righteous will praise your name. And the upright will live in your presence. I want to take some time this morning and invite God to come and fill our lives with his presence. I already had an altar call earlier, and this is where I was going to do a salvation call, and I'm going to do it again. I just want to give another opportunity this morning. I can't say, well, we did it once, we don't ever do it again. No, maybe you've heard this morning, it's like, I don't want to miss his presence. I like his purpose. I like all of that good stuff. I love the compassion stuff. And I love missions and all of that. But listen, it comes from his presence. Fulfilled through his power. And I want you to know him. I don't want you to miss this. This can be the most exciting thing of your life. In fact, it'll be the most exciting thing of your eternity life. All of it. Once again, would you just close your eyes, maybe where you're at? And I think sometimes we need that private moment. And if you're here once again, just say, I want Jesus. I want to receive him. I want him to be my Savior. I want to spend time in his presence. If that's you again, I'm just looking around, balcony, main floor, just looking around. Is there anyone again? I just feel like I don't want to miss any opportunity today. Because it can't go to his power. It can't grow unless I want to be in his presence. Is there anyone? Amen. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the two in first service. I thank you for those earlier in this service. I just pray for all of us, God. Once again, that we'll put you first. Hallowed, 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 worthy, honored, cherished is your name. Glory to your name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Look at me. I want us to pursue his presence. In a few minutes, you can stand if you want. You can come to the altar. You can bow and kneel where you are. You need to understand, God has created us all different. There's times I get excited. And I'm not a dancer by any means. And you ask my kids. And I mean, when I really try, it still don't come out right. But maybe I can just dance like David danced. And it was about my heart, not about the style. It wasn't about the dress. It was about Him. I don't know what your style of worship is. Some are cerebral. I just need to think about it. You know what? God understands that because God made you that way. There are others who are emotional. And you need to lift your hands. I don't get anything until I do this. When I do that, whoa, look at there. God created us different that way. I can't explain why, except He didn't want us all to be the same. He wanted us to love Him with the way He made us. And so I don't know what your style is, but I tell you what, the purpose of the style is all the same. It's His presence. I want you to begin to worship Him and get your attention on Him. I want you to also take time and just listen too. He might want to talk to you. He might just speak to your heart. I want you to say, God, I want you to take more of me. I want you to do with my life what you want. Next week, I'm going to begin messages to help identify things in this world that God may not want to be there. Things that have attached themselves to our lives. The toxins of this world have played havoc with our souls. And church, it's time to pursue His presence. I want to inspire you, teach you. I want to grow you. Listen, I want to detox your soul. There's so much stuff out there. The FCC right now is trying to, if you don't understand, that's the one who sets the boundaries of what goes on public TV. And right now they're trying to remove everything that's been banned. They're trying to add nudity and now language and the worst of the language to be allowed on public TV. Church is a toxin. And little by little, we've let it come in. And God says, I want you to come into my presence because there is fullness of joy. And church, I can't tell you how it's going to hit you. It may take several weeks, but we're going to pursue His presence. We're going to keep going after it. And we're going to let God begin to work on those toxins that just have allowed themselves to slip into our lives. And we're going to say to those, no more. I don't know what's going to happen to your TV. If this passes and this goes, I don't know what you're going to be able to watch. I know for a while we'd be able to say, well, they put a rating on it. And God said, have you read my word and my rating? Because their rating doesn't match up to mine. Church is pursuing Him. It's all about you. God, it's all about you. So this morning, I'm not going to have a closing, official closing. I'm going to pray for you. We're just going to begin to worship. You're dismissed when you feel like the Holy Spirit's dismissed you. Would you take a moment and seek Him? Say, God, I love you and I worship you today. Lord, I pray for us as a church. God, that you would make us holy. And Lord, you'd make us without spot or wrinkle. God, come and iron out the stuff in our lives that needs to be gone. Because God, we're going to step into your presence. We're going to pursue you daily in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you lift this?